same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around, but those dreams have remained and they've turned around. Who'd have thought they'd reach ya?
Who'd have thought they'd reach ya?
Back here where we need ya.
Back here where we need ya.
Yeah, we tease him a lot, 'cause we got him on the spot. Welcome back.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back, welcome back.
And welcome back to Comic Culture, the radio show, The Champions, the local comic book shop, broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, excuse me, and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter Duralia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And we welcome everybody back to Comic Culture and the first show, Chris, of 2016.
Can you believe it's 2016 already?
Yeah.
I see you got your 2016 sweater on today.
You like that?
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, I know.
I think I saw that in 2010.
What are you talking about? I just took the zero and I extended a little line on it. It looks just like 16.
It looks good. Looks good.
Thank
looks
you.
Good, yeah.
Thank you.
Baby blue always looks good on you.
Yeah. And Sharpies are a great accessory.
Hey, and you know, we do have, as usual, our producer extraordinaire, Shecky Feldstein, is with us today.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, not bad, Shecky. How are you? Hey, Happy New Year, Shecky.
Yeah, Happy New Year to yourself.
I'm sure Shecky has so much plans for the show in 2016.
So many. As a producer?
As a producer.
He's got... Lined up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Out the door.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. My first goal is to try and figure out a way to get paid for doing the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe you shouldn't be as ambitious.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I should set my sights to realistic goals.
One notch down from that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, but hey, we're looking forward to a great year, and we're looking forward to just, filling the airwaves with...
We'll be filling the airwaves with something.
With something.
Yeah.
And this week it's going to be with comic book goodness.
Laughter.
Laughter. And
joy.
Joy. And information that you, comic book fan, can use to your advantage, maybe perhaps to make money.
Right.
B, and most importantly probably, is to entertain yourself.
Entertain yourself.
Yeah. Now, Chris, I know you entertain yourself quite often.
You know, when I listen to this show, entertaining myself is not something I tend to do.
Well, okay. You are an exception to the rule.
That's because I'm too close to the center.
Right, exactly.
Right? Yeah.
You're an exception to the rule. I mean, all the emails I get love the show.
I know. It's so true. You're very lovable. Very lovable.
Thanks, Owen. All right. So every week, let me ask you something.
Ask me something.
This year, are we going to continue with the kind of a similar format where you start talking about
stuff?
Comics that stand this week?
You know, seeing as you've decided to put me on the spot right here, would you like to have some other kind of format? Would you like to start something different without me knowing?
Isn't this one of those things you would have discussed beforehand, maybe?
You'd think. But no, go ahead. What kind of format would you like to do?
Seeing as you spent about a half hour amassing that little pile on your desk there, I say we go
with
that.
We can just throw it in the garbage if you like.
No,
all
not
that
at
time
all.
And
no,
energy I spent?
No, I insist.
I insist indubitably.
No, you can start, we're going to start every week. We have to inform people on if they're heading into their local shop, what they can expect to find.
All right.
A recommendation from Chris. So I know so many guys that just buy based on your recommendation.
Well, as they should, really. Yeah. It's a wealth of knowledge here.
Mm-hmm.
Wealth.
So without further ado, I think Shecky Feldstein has
a sponsor
for New This Week.
You know it. New This Week brought to us by the year 2016, the year where Marvel is promising not to reboot any more of their newly rebooted titles.
Probably broke that already.
They're probably near breaking that.
By day three, I think that was done.
All right. You know what I'm going to do for you guys?
Here's what I want you to do.
Here's what I want, what I really, really want.
Go ahead.
Easy Spice Girl.
I'm going to talk to you guys about, Amanda Connor, who is famous for Power Girl fame now. And she did that one book a long time ago called The Pro.
Uh-huh.
You know, the hooker who was a hero kind of thing. You know, she's come a long ways. She does a lot of stuff, especially with Jimmy Palmiotti. And they are the forerunners of the new company called Aftershock.
Aftershock.
So Aftershock Comics is starting to release a number of different titles.
Uh-huh.
And they have a new comic book called Super Zero.
Super Zero.
Super Zero. And number one has come out this week. Uh-huh. And this is by Amanda Connor and Jimmy Palmiotti are the writers. And Raphael De La Torre is the artist on this one. And I don't want to give too much of it away. It's kind of like a young girl kid becomes a superhero kind of thing.
Right.
But has troubles just like everybody else does. I don't
like Peter Parker.
Kind of like a Peter Parker kind of thing, but I don't want to give too much away.
Don't give too much away. Just I think it's important for people to know. Go ahead.
I'm not going to give it away. I'm going to say I think it's also a good idea because this is Aftershock. It's number one.
Uh-huh.
It's a brand new company. Yeah. Don't you think that perhaps in your learned experience, that this might be a good issue for someone perhaps to invest in?
Well, that's why I'm a little bit ticked at you, Chris, because this was my investment.
You didn't tell me that at all.
No, I did. Oh. But you just didn't hear me.
Okay.
Yeah. So we can share this one. How's that?
Share the wealth.
So yeah.
Oh, boy.
Super Zero, number one, available at your local comic book shop this week, is my investment pick of the week.
Okay. So great to know. That's good. Yeah. Good. All right.
Yeah, keep going.
Okay, here's another one that I would have thought that you might want to have as an investment pick of the week.
Hey, steal that one too from
that's right. Yeah, that's right. Spider-Man Deadpool number one.
Spider-Man Deadpool.
So this is by Joe Kelly and Ed McGuinness, Mark Morales, and Jason Keith. So this is like the best of all worlds because there's a lot of people out there who are like Spider-Man fans. And there are a lot of people out there who are Deadpool fans.
You don't say, Chris.
And this is kind of like, yeah, it's because people equate Deadpool to being like a more harder-edged Spider-Man because he's got the witty banter, you know.
And Spidey started that.
Spidey was that
guy throwing the jibes to the, the villains during the
fight. Deadpool's kind of like the R-rated version of Spider-Man.
Yeah. So, you know, I think – anyways, this is a great book, as I said, by Joe Kelly and Ed McGuinness. I think this might be a good book to invest in, but, you know, I'm not the pro like you are.
Chris, what I'm going to do is I'm going to – add Spider-Man Deadpool number one, that's available at your local comic book shop, as my second investment pick of this week.
Whoa! Based on your recommendation,
have
you ever done that
before? No, but you had such a passionate argument for it.
Okay.
I couldn't ignore it, and that's available at your local comic book shop. What else you got?
Okay, so speaking of Deadpool,
now
this is interesting. So, Deadpool hot commodity these days, right? So hot.
Movies coming up.
All kinds of new books coming out. Deadpool, Spider-Man. So interestingly enough, Marvel has gone back to the well and has decided to reprint Deadpool's first appearance.
Mm.
But they're calling it The True Believers Deadpool number one.
Right.
So rather than calling it New Mutants number 98. Mm-hmm. They're calling it True Believers Deadpool number one, and it's a reprint of New Mutants 98 when Deadpool first appeared.
If I was a betting man,
yes,
I would say that Marvel's True Believers line is going to do this to other books, thus they can be all under a True Believers kind of
a new number one kind of thing.
Yeah, not necessarily a new number one, but. Or, I don't even know if they're going to do this sequentially or not. But, for example, True Believers number two may be, you know, New Mutants 87 or I don't know what. You know, X-Force 1 or something.
Yep.
You know, some first appearance of somebody at one point or another.
So, oddly enough, it's funny because, you know, New Mutants 87 used to be the one that everybody thought would be the big book, right?
Yeah, and that's the first
Cable.
Cable, yeah.
Right? And now it's like the first Deadpool is completely overshot.
Absolutely. Yeah.
This one.
And you know what it is? And that's, basically democracy or the market.
Right.
In action, right?
That's, yeah.
That's like, you know, the fans speaking. It's almost like.
Because you demanded it.
Right. It's like the publishers are going, well, you know, Cable's our guy. Cable's going to be the guy that's, you know, one of the centers of the X universe and all this kind of stuff. And this Deadpool guy is kind of a, you know, smart ass, you know, comic relief type thing or whatever. And then it's all of a sudden, hey, you know, everybody likes the Deadpool. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we should be making Deadpool stuff and
exactly,
not Cable stuff.
And
that's
right.
Kind of the way it played out.
Yep. No, I
agree. All right. So True Believers Deadpool number one, available at your local comic book shop.
And you know what's good about that? Sorry, I have to just chime in a little bit.
Chime in there.
Talking about reprints and, you know, copying the same covers.
Stop you
and
from chiming in.
Yeah, you're no one. Yeah.
Thank you.
But at least you have the True Believers, you know, title, as opposed to, like, say, the Action Comics when they reprinted the number one.
Yeah.
And then everyone says, oh, well, I had the first Superman comic. I had one. Yeah. And you say, well, really? And then you look at it and you have to tell the guy, the poor guy, this is a reprint.
My favorite is still, it's still in its original bag.
Mm-hmm. you know what we sound like, guys? We sound like crusty old comic store guys.
I know.
Ow! This lady brought in her lassies and she wanted.
Are these worth anything? Del Lassie? Yeah. People like stories about dogs?
Yeah, you know what? You could write a book on that.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. All right.
Listen, so we talked about Deadpool and Spidey. Uh-huh. We talked about Deadpool.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to talk about Spidey.
Look at you. Yeah, how you've done that.
Yeah, well, you know, it's all planned.
Did you plan that?
I did. It's all planned. Full circle. Circle of life.
Yeah.
So, Spider-Man has... this is one of the things I think Marvel is actually doing right.
Right.
I'm going to tell you right now. I think it's one of the things that Marvel is doing right because people are getting tired of ongoing, long, boring story arcs with Marvel. They're tired of, you know, having to pick up every single issue to be part of a particular series of something.
Sick of tired.
However, if you pick up Spidey, it's just called Spidey.
It's called Spidey.
Mm-hmm. This harkens back to the days when Spider-Man and Spider-Man comics used to be just a lot of fun.
Right.
So this is a story. It's like an old story. It's got like Gwen Stacy in it, and it's got young Peter Parker, and he's fighting the Sandman. So it's almost like a retelling of the original Amazing Spider-Man comics.
Right on.
This is Spidey number 2.
Right.
So it's a fun comic, just the way comics used to be back in the day. You know, there's not a lot of drama and all that kind of heartache and all that kind of stuff.
Save the drama for your mama.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. So Spidey number 2 is a fun comic.
Yeah.
And it's available at your local comic book shop.
It's fun because we said so.
It's a fun comic.
It's a fun comic.
Yeah. All right. So take our word for it.
You know what's totally awesome?
Uh-oh.
You?
The Hulk. Totally awesome Hulk came out. It's actually called Totally Awesome Hulk.
Oh, I get it now.
Yeah, it's actually called.
I didn't know where you were.
It's actually
going
called
with
the Totally Awesome Hulk.
Apparently, you weren't going anywhere with it.
Tough crowd. Anyways, so Totally Awesome Hulk number 2 has come out now. Normally, so this is the Hulk that's actually Amadeus Cho. It's not the Bruce Banner Hulk that we all know and love, because Marvel.
Let me, Amadeus.
Well, Marvel has gone ahead and changed up all the characters that are traditionally who we know. So, you know, Sam Wilson, who used to be Falcon, is now Captain America. Mm-hmm. Amadeus Cho, who used to be like just some smart kid, is now the Hulk. So it's no longer Bruce Banner.
Everything has been turned on its
head.
Jane
Foster is now Thor. Like, right. There's all kinds of people who are no longer the same.
Chris,
people.
What the heck is happening?
Right. So now, normally, I wouldn't. Don't know if I'd care for this. So Hulk was always sort of like a brooding, you know, I'm always...
Don't make me mad.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sad. I can't be the way I used to be.
Right.
This is like about a guy who loves being the Hulk.
Yeah.
He loves the fact that he can be the Hulk. He loves being able to pound someone's head in kind of thing. Like, and so it's just a fun way of portraying a character Another fun book, yeah.
Look at you.
You know what? So this is and on top of all that, it's drawn by... Frank Cho, and written by Greg Pak.
Is he related to Amadeus?
No, it's kind of hard to be related to a comic book character. That's like saying, "Hey, Walt, are you related to Peter Parker in any way?"
I'm not sure.
Yeah, let me check my family lineage.
I'll check genealogy.com or whatever the hell you call it. All right.
At any rate, no. You know, I'm going to go out on a limb here, even though I don't know Frank Cho. Actually, I met him a few times. Nice guy. Mm-hmm. But even though I don't know him that well, I'm going to say he's not related to Amadeus Cho.
Well, listen, he's no Art Baldassare.
No, he is not.
But he's an okay guy.
He's an okay guy.
And the Totally Awesome Hulk, number 2, is available at your local comic book shop.
All right. Let's continue on here. We're going to move on to DC Comics. We've got a couple more books here to go through. Batman and Robin Eternal and Green Arrow is also coming out on their shelves this week. I don't really have much to say about them.
You picked them, right?
Well, you know what? I think the Batman and Robin Eternal, I like the fact that Scarecrow's in it. I like the whoever is drawing this. Hold on. What's his name here? Blanco, I believe his name is. Oh, sorry. Hold on.
Una Palona Blanco.
Fernando Blanco and Roger Robinson are doing the art. I really like the way they're drawing Scarecrow.
All right.
And interestingly enough, I thought the way that they're drawing Green Arrow is kind of matching the way that Green Arrow is on TV these days.
Right. Which that was interesting. It, yeah.
Both good books. I don't really have much to say about them.
They're good books. They're good looking books.
Good looking books.
Good looking books.
They're available at your local comic book shop today. That's Green Arrow 48 and Batman 48.
Okay, I got a couple.
By the way, Green Arrow, so I can just throw this in. Green Arrow 48 is, of course, one of the original new 52 DCs.
Because it's still going.
That whole Enterprise has moved up to issue 48 now, which is which is four calendar years.
4 years. Right. Look at you, knowing your math and all.
Look at me. All right.
Okay. Two more books. Actually, three more books. Lara Croft and the Frozen Omen by Dark Horse has come out this week. I'm
Dark
surprised.
Roast?
Dark Horse.
Dark Horse.
The Dark Horse.
I do like Dark Roast coffee,
so
though.
Yeah.
Dark Horse has come out with Lara Croft and the Frozen Omen. You know what? I don't really have much to say that's good about it.
You don't really have much to say about anything, really.
Well, I don't really care for the art in this one. I think the art's very.
Well, this is like the
looking.
So this is like the poo-poo of the week for you, Chris.
Kinda, yeah, but it's Lara Croft.
I think we should do that every week, Chris. Now that we have to have one poo-poo book of the week.
Yeah,
it's
a
good
least,
idea. Let's
at
do that.
At least
well,
one
that's
poo-poo.
That's going to be Lara Croft for me.
Yeah, and this guy looks like that Grot character from Marvel. What's
Grot.
His name?
Grot.
Like the tree guy?
Groot?
Groot.
Right.
That's what
right.
I meant.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so that's Lara Croft and the Frozen Men.
Right.
No, the Frozen Omen.
Those people, although they may be very stiff, those men are not frozen.
Okay. Huh. Is this thing on?
All right. Next up, Doctor Who, number one. This is with the 12th Doctor Adventures, year two, number one.
Wow, Doctor Who, number one. You know, because they give me all the important jobs at the shop, I put in the new This Week comics, you know, when they come out.
Yeah,
and then they go into the little slots. And
what'd you say?
Slots.
Oh, right, sorry.
And I noticed that the Doctor Who section has, like, I don't know, they have an 11th Doctor,
ninth
a 10th Doctor,
Doctor, 10th
Doctor, a 9th
yeah,
Doctor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think, how the heck does
there's
this
a lot
does
of number
it all
ones.
Sell?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Obviously,
well, because you know what it is? Here's the thing. People love certain Doctors, so you may be a big fan of, like, the 12th Doctor, but not necessarily, like, the 9th Doctor.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean. So you want to carry on liking and reading about the character that the Doctor you like, but not to give two craps about some other Doctor,
right? On.
Like Doctor Doom,
right? Yeah, I remember there was that proctologist Doctor you liked a while back.
Yeah, he was really good.
Yeah,
he was really good. Nice.
Gentle.
Yeah.
Doctor Gentle.
Doctor Gentle. Okay, I got one more thing I want to talk about here. This is a trend that I've noticed noticed happening. You go to Costco, you go to Indigo or Chapters or, you know,
Barnes and Noble
in the States, something like that. So you go to your local bookshop, and it seems like coloring books for adults is starting to become popular.
Oh, I've seen a couple of those, Chris.
Not the ones at the Stag Shop.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, not the dirty ones. Mm-hmm. You know, I just can't get your mind out of
the
clutter.
Oh, Chris, I'm sorry. That's the ones that you gave me for Christmas, remember?
That's right, sorry. but coloring books for adults is becoming popular, and Marvel is in on the action now because they've decided to reprint probably 50 or 60 different Marvel Deadpool covers.
Right, like icon. And they're the favorite covers of
Marvel. I don't even know if they're a favorite. I think they just kind of went through the well and was like, let's grab all
right,
these.
Let's do it. Now, I noticed you're flipping through that book, and what I did notice right away on all of them is there's no image on the back of each page.
Right, so it's
because the crayon will kind of sink
bleed
through.
If you're using markers, it will bleed right through. So it's a really interesting idea. So they basically have all these black and white covers that you can go back and color in yourself as an adult, if you like. It's not meant to be for kids. It has some gory stuff in it. It has zombies.
Let me ask you a question.
Ask me.
Is there within that book a kind of like a coloring contest thing? Perhaps if you're really proud of the way you colored something, you can send it in and win a prize.
You know, I don't see
like
anything
like a bicycle or X-ray glasses or something like that,
or like a bikini for yourself.
Specs that really work.
Uh huh.
I don't see anything like that. No? But that's a really good idea.
Yeah, maybe for the next book.
You know what? I'm going to write to Marvel about that.
I'm sure they're listening, Chris.
Yeah, well, they're listening right now.
Of course they are.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's a good idea. Even on the back page here, it looks like there's other, like they've got Color Your Own Civil War, Color Your Own Age of Ultron.
Oh, cool.
Yep. So, yeah, it looks good. I like the idea.
Right on. That is Color Your Own Deadpool from Marvel Comics, available at your local comic book shop today.
All right. And oh, looks like Shecky's got something to
Shecky's
say.
Shecky's got a pick.
Oh boy, right here we go.
Shecky.
Yeah. Right on.
You know what, Chris? You've taken the airwaves for far too long with your 38 new comics,
long.
You know, of the 8,000 that come out today. I had to give honorable mention right now. As most people out there know, when Shecky picks a book, it's got nothing to do for the story or the content in any way whatsoever.
Or anything to do with
all
his
about,
knowledge about
all
it.
About the boobs.
Yeah, yeah. Because the knowledge isn't even there. I don't even have the knowledge. However, what I will give praise to is Captain Canuck number 6.
Yay!
Because
Captain Canuck number 6.
This was a project so long, like Walt, you as well know, so long in the works. They planned this miniseries of 1 to 6 for so long ago. The strife, you know, the fighting for the actors to do the web series, and then the artists to do the actual illustrations and the story. You know what? They all kind of came together, and finally this week, the last of the 6, you know, comes out.
The ending of the first arc.
Right. And and because of how successful it was, number 7 is the beginning of the ongoing, you know, which is spawned from this, as well as the classic Canuck ongoing series as
which
well.
Which is coming out as
So, you know, like, you have to give hats off to Chapter House Comics and Richard Cumley, who's persevered and stood by, you know, his product the entire time. That's all this is. It's not about the book itself. It's more about the property itself and how Captain Canuck is continuing to impact the Canadian market of comics.
Hey, you know what? Speaking of Captain Canuck, my wife got me Captain Canuck maple syrup for Christmas.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
You know what? I don't care. I'm going to say it on the air right now.
Yeah.
That was my idea.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Did you actually tell her that?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
No.
Oh, I mean the syrup
Captain
itself.
Canuck maple syrup.
Oh, yeah, I knew that, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Did you tell my wife that that was your idea?
My wife?
Well, yeah, because I went to Shecky. I go, man, I can't sell this Captain Canuck crap, syrup crap for the life of me.
Hey, I know a sap wife.
You think Angela will buy it for Chris?
What sap will like another sap?
Right on. So Captain Canuck number 6, finally here. Congratulations, like you said, Shecky. And please visit your local comic book shop. There's tons more to peruse.
All right, Shecky, do you have a musical interlude for us? We got to have something.
I know. Absolutely. We need something to cleanse the palate. And you know what? We're going to hit it high, hit it hard, a little bit of Krantz for you.
All right, let's hear it.
Hey, you know what? He came into the shop a couple weeks ago or last week.
I did?
Or I think it was yesterday. No,
okay.
A guy.
Oh.
Was this guy named the Word Burglar.
Word Burglar.
And apparently he's a
performance. Wasn't he Ronald McDonald villain?
I think so.
Yeah.
No, he's the Hamburglar.
Oh, right. Sorry. Yeah, yeah.
So this guy wrote a comic and he brought it in and he, you know, said, hey, can you throw it up in the shop? I said, sure. So he goes, hey, you know, I also have these kind of comic book wraps. And he's a Word Burglar, and he left a comic book rap CD with
this. You know, we should play some of this stuff.
And that's what I was going to say. Maybe one day this week we can get Shecky to
good
line
thing you had it all
up.
Set up for us to play tonight.
I just remembered now.
Right on the ball.
Yeah. Right on the ball. All right.
Yeah. Well, that's about
sign of things to come.
That's about our pace, really. So,
all right. So industry news, Shecky.
All right. So industry news, the first of 2016, brought to us by comic coloring books for adults, where all you do is color in Deadpool's bikini line.
Okay.
All righty then. Nice. Yeah, it's awkward, right. But sure, why not?
Apparently, well, isn't that what that book's all about?
Yeah.
I don't know. This is their ad for the book. We're pumping it, so I don't know. He's pumping it. We're pumping it.
Pumping it. Yeah. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Walt.
So this, I wanted to ask you something about this this Marvel announcement on. So I read this thing about Marvel. To mark their new story arcs with an homage to the old story arc. So let me explain.
Okay.
Please, let me... Lucy!
Explain.
Let me explain.
Explain.
In an attempt to battle the nearly inevitable decay in sales and issue numbers increase,
right,
Marvel announced a variant program for the first issues of select second story arcs of its all-new, all-different titles, which is, I guess, a brand, all-new, all-different.
Yeah, yeah.
The variants will feature images that attempt to encapsulate the first arcs in a single image. The images will also be used in comic shops and in online advertising to promote the new arcs. Variant program includes, the variant program will run for at least 3 months, with the affected titles for February and March announced as all new Inhumans number 5, all new X-Men number 4, Amazing Spider-Man number 9, Carnage number 6, Deadpool number 8, Doctor Strange number 6, Guardians of the Galaxy number 6.
Okay, so hold on a second here. I just want to see if I get this straight.
Yeah. Like, I read it to you, and I'm still not sure.
Okay, so clearly some genius of a PR guy went to Marvel and said, hey, I got a great idea. Let's use old story arc images to promote new story arc ideas.
Right.
So we're gonna rehash old stuff and create posters from old ideas rather than trying to drum up business with new ideas. We're going to showcase old ideas and somehow people will get interested in new ideas.
And that's the way I'm reading.
And this is like, they're going to be variants as well. So in other words, let's say an arc is done by issue 6, right? Or whatever it is
issue
here.
Issue 5.
Say issue 5, right? So you're going into Carnage 6, as you listed.
Yeah.
And your variant cover is issue 1 to 5, which is nothing to do with issue 6 that you have.
Right.
So for example, if the Deadpool number 8, let's say number 7 finished a story arc with the Punisher in it, it would have an encapsulated image with the Punisher in it.
Right.
And even yet if the new one is like Doc Strange.
Even if the Punisher died at issue 7.
Right. I hope whoever hired that PR firm gets fired, because that's a terrible idea.
That's what I'm thinking too. Yeah. Like, I'm reading this and it's news.
It's terrible.
But I'm going to tell you one thing right
okay,
now.
Okay, so hold on. I just want to compare this for one second.
Let's back it up.
I want to compare this
for
one second. Beep, 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 boop, beep, boop, beep, beep. So, if I wanted to promote Star Wars The Force Awakens, I'm going to go back and start pushing posters with Han Solo, Luke Skywalker, and Jabba the Hutt on it.
Mm.
That's basically what they're saying. That's the idea here.
Right.
That's an extreme version of what they're saying.
I don't think it is.
I mean, if you draw a line.
That's a story arc. That's the end of that story arc.
Yeah.
Right? So, what's the difference?
There isn't.
Right. So go ahead.
It's a terrible idea, like you said. If anything, they should be trying to, because the new arc is written.
Right.
They should be trying to, within one image, kind of tease you with what's to come.
Encapsulate that whole story arc with that one image.
Well, look at this. This is what you
what's
got to
happening?
Look forward to. Yeah, this is kind of.
Don't jump off the bandwagon now.
And usually there'll be a question mark behind a figure or something. Yeah. I don't know. But where they are right in this, and I guess is where, the line that says, to battle the nearly inevitable decay in sales as issue numbers increase.
Okay, so what they're referring to is the fact that generally after the first story arc, with a new series, after the first issue, sales drop.
Right.
So what they're trying to do, so I think they're realizing that variants do sell, and DC is a good promoter of that right now. Recently, they've been doing their black bagged Harley Quinn.
Yeah,
little
before
black
that,
book.
It was the bombshell one.
Bombshell.
Before that, it was
they've got the Looney Tunes one.
Yeah,
the
Looney Tunes one.
You know, they've got DC is doing it very well. So what I'm wondering is, why can't Marvel do something very well as well when it comes to these variants? I would rather buy a cool variant rather than a variant that's going to encapsulate the last story arc.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Show me the all-nude, all-different X-Men.
Nice.
Right? Show
all
me something,
nude. Like,
all nude.
Right? Show me something different. For
Sounds like a lot of Wang.
Hey, some people like that.
Yeah, well, apparently you're demanding it.
What
song
did they sing?
The Wangs?
The Wangs.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying that, you know.
Swing low.
Everybody Wang Chung tonight.
Sweet cherry.
I'm sure there's a way to get variants rather than rehashing old stuff that no one cares about.
Okay, but Marvel did do it successfully with their kind of limited variants of, you know, adaptations of old hip hop.
Awesome idea. Love that idea.
But okay, let's take that. Okay, so let's wrap this all up in a bow.
Okay,
and then talk about it.
Okay.
Okay. So, is it a good idea to do old hip hop adaptations to Spider-Man and Deadpool and Doc Strange and all that kind of stuff? Like what relevance does it have to the comic and the story?
You know what? It's great.
You know what I'm saying?
Great
because
point.
After the hip hop, yep. Then they're going to do a spaghetti Western month, and yep. Then they're going to do a roaring twenties, Cagney movie
and they
month.
Might.
And then, like, it just becomes
okay. So
you know,
so here's my answer to that.
Okay.
So DC did famous movie posters.
Yes.
Right. So they did like there was a Gone with the Wind.
Yeah.
I don't know, Lost Boys or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like the iconic images, right? Maybe mm-hmm. the movies weren't even that good, but the images for the poster were iconic.
Right.
Right. And then next month they did Warner Brothers cartoons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Or maybe it was the next month.
Yeah, but I'm
later
saying
on.
DC's gone down that path already. Okay. And now they got to one up every.
Okay. But
new,
what I'm
going to
say is.
Months.
But some of those covers I really liked for,
right.
like, let's say Green Arrow. I don't mm-hmm. normally buy Green Arrow, but man, I really liked that cover they did for that movie month. But I didn't necessarily like it for the Warner Brothers month, so mm-hmm. I'm going to buy the movie month, but not the Warner Brothers
month. Yeah, but that's the thing. Okay, we're here, and this is my argument. We're here to champion the local comic book shop. We're here to promote patrons to go into local comic
right.
book shops. We're here to kind of perpetuate or whatever the heck I want to say about, you know, the joy of comic books and the quality of comic books and why
so
it's worthwhile to read comic books.
So you're saying...
And it's like, this is just like, okay, you know what? Let's figure out a way to sell something that people have no interest in, except
right.
because they just saw, you know, a Wu-Tang Clan cover,
right.
And so they'll go out in and buy it.
You're right.
Is that good long-term strategy?
No, it's long-term strategy. It's terrible.
Right.
Right, and that's what happened to the 90s implosion of comics, right, back in the day.
I guess this is maybe what I'm trying to avoid.
Right. So what they need to do is tell good stories.
Right.
To entice people to continue reading.
Yes.
I completely agree with you.
Right.
So I think that this... idea is just bad all
yeah,
around.
So do I. Now, I wanted to ask you something as well on that subject. Is, like, have we reached a point where for floppy comics, monthly comics,
monthly floppies,
where literally speaking, like literally, the issue number is irrelevant?
I think it's getting to that point.
There
yeah.
is no collectability anymore. It is basically a vehicle towards a graphic novel.
I completely agree.
It's
with
the
that.
First,
yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, you know.
Because there's no more two-issue storylines. There's no more one-issue storylines.
Yeah.
It's all devoted to, you know, the trade paperback, mm-hmm. you know, and the sales of the trades.
Like, would we ever see, let's say, a really great-selling comic, like, let's say, Batman?
Right.
Which is up to issue number 48.
Yeah.
Would the next step be, it's like, okay, let's just stop, you know, the next arc, basically at number 50, let's say it ends, and the next arc is Batman number 1, Gotham, A Walk in the Park.
Right.
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 And
so,
then it goes 5 issues.
Yep.
And then the next one is Batman, A Kick in the Ass.
Yep.
And then that's, you know, starts at number 1. It's kind of like what Image is doing with Conan or with BPRD or with Hellboy.
Yep, that's right.
Is that where comics are going to go?
I think so, yeah. I think Dark Horse is basically blazing that trail because mm-hmm. it's all going to story arcs anyway, so
right.
why not? I think the idea of the number ones is out the window. There's so many number ones now.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer a collectible thing for a number one.
Right. So the adjectives...
Right.
Are gone.
The title. Yeah, that's right.
Like the adjectives are no longer relevant.
No.
Amazing. Uncanny.
Yep.
Incredible.
It's all about the story arc now.
Right. It's just like, you know, Spider-Man. It's the Spider-Man, the character, and the arc title.
Yep.
And then you can have 4 concurrent arc titles going with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
All under, like, say, the Spider-Man banner.
Yeah,
I don't even know why you have to
put,
Spectacular Spider-Man, arc one, number 1 to 5, and then Amazing Spider-Man arc 1 to 5. It's irrelevant because
it's completely irrelevant.
The adjective of it is no longer relevant because the adjective served for the longevity of the title.
Right, right. But that doesn't matter anymore.
Doesn't matter anymore.
Doesn't matter.
All right.
Never got a dinner.
You know what? I'm pretty well. I honestly think I'm a little bit more confused after our discussion with that than I was before.
Okay. You know what's not confusing?
What?
The amount of money that Disney is making off of Star Wars.
What the heck is up with that?
Okay. So.
So hey, hold on. Let me ask you guys. Did you, Shecky, see this already?
Absolutely. Yeah.
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 How about you?
I've seen it.
Okay.
Have you seen it yet?
No.
Why not?
I've been busy.
You not.
Yes, I have.
Come on.
What have you been doing?
My cousin Bronco came over one night. Bronco. You know?
Does he like the Broncos? Denver?
No, he doesn't actually. Oh. No. Okay. His name is Bronco. Sorry. Why don't you leave him alone? Leave me alone.
Why you got to pick on a guy?
Yeesh.
Yeah.
Oof. Getting hot in here? Sorry.
All right, so Star Wars is making what? A fistful of dollars?
Oh, more than fistful of dollars. For the first time in over 40 years, a movie directed by not directed by James Cameron, George Lucas, or Steven Spielberg is in the box office, basically.
Right.
So they have outside the U.S., The Force Awakens has earned $770 million for a global total of $1.5 billion.
Right. Now, I read somewhere that Cameron Avatar one has a total worldwide global of over 3 billion, and that it's not guaranteed that the Star Wars one will ever get to
I don't
that.
Know if it's 3. I thought it was like 2.5 or something.
So
like
it's
that.
Okay. So it's 2.78 billion for Avatar.
Uh-huh.
But come on, Star Wars has been out for 2 weeks,
three weeks,
and it's already got 1.5 billion.
Yeah, you know what?
But it's front end loaded, Chris.
You know what? The big thing about Avatar was for me, I was working at a Kelsey's at the time, a restaurant, you know. In a power center next to a movie theater. And honestly, for the opening night, you know, of that, we didn't see much more traffic than normal, you know, because a lot of moviegoers come, get whatever.
Yeah.
For like Harry Potter, we get rammed, right, with all these Harry Potter kids with wizards and their wands and their, wizard Harry, you know, they're all doing things, they're wearing Jedi robes, whatever. For Avatar, we didn't see that. It was the fact that, honestly, for 3 months straight, we had people coming into the restaurant saying, "We're going to see Avatar.
Avatar. Yeah.
If Star Wars can even, you know, fractionally emulate that for like 2 months, then they will destroy it.
You haven't seen it yet. You're going to go see it in the theater.
I'm going to wait till it comes on TV.
No, you're not. You lie.
Not?
No.
Okay.
No.
He lies like a rug.
Want to go see it with
Let's go see it tonight.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Hey, listen. So I always like these kind of analogies. So, Star Wars The Force Awakens, they always like to talk about adjusting for inflation and how when they're talking about, you know,
because Star Wars in 1977.
Yeah, it was $2 to go see a movie.
Yeah, Gone with the Wind in 1939.
Right.
Yeah.
So I just think this is interesting. So it says the first Star Wars film earned $307 million in its original North American run in 1977.
Which today, is ridiculous.
Today, that would translate to $1.2 billion.
As a domestic run.
As a domestic run.
Which has to be a record.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, hold on, because really, Star Wars has only earned, so far, $740 million domestically.
Right. Yeah, I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, so.
But it's on pace to just destroy that, like blow through that.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. It has to double, and I'm saying the first 3 weeks
is
where
you make
all
your
money.
A lot of it, but here's the thing as well.
Here's the thing.
Releasing for a holiday in the winter is sketchy at best because it's not blockbuster season. Mm-hmm. You know what? They could have had a better opening weekend record if they would have released anywhere between May and August.
Right.
100% they would have done it. Mm-hmm. But the competition is so much less right now.
Right.
People will be going to the movies to watch this for months and months.
And they release in China this weekend coming up.
Yes, right. which is the second biggest global market for film.
Right. Okay, so let me get your guys' opinions and everything like that. So we are all three of us pop culture enthusiasts.
Right. Yes.
And we like to promote the world of pop culture and the local comic book shop as a purveyor of pop culture. Star Wars is an important ingredient to pop culture.
Yep.
Has the movie, did the movie do its job in terms of one, telling a great story, but two, enshrining or that Star Wars franchise?
I think so.
And letting setting in the new platform, a bigger and better thing.
Yeah, it has. It's a good enough movie. It's a good enough story. Mm-hmm. That it's, and it's not a great job when this is. What I think they did a really good job at is a lot of the people they're complaining about.
Uh-huh.
And it was a great way of bridging the old Star Wars movies with this new Star Wars movie, right? Okay. So people are complaining about the fact that it was too similar in concepts and storylines and ideas to the original Star Wars movie.
Right.
Because even just having, you know, Han Solo in it and those kind of characters, like all the old cast in it, but it was meant to be a bridging movie between the two, like the Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens. It was meant to be a bridging movie between the next series of movies.
Yeah, I get it.
So I think it did a great job, and I think the characters that they've created are awesome, and I think they will live the tests of time, just like the way Han Solo has and those other characters.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, that's good. I read something really cool and interesting just as a side thing on how Star Wars, the whole story, and even Lucas admitted it, basically mirrors or replicates copies, but obviously changes in many ways. That Japanese Akira Kurosawa's Fortress or something like that.
Yep.
Basically took the storytelling concept of telling two kind of bumpkins.
Yep.
It's told from their perspective, which is like basically the C-3PO, two robots.
Yep.
And I found it interesting. I found it
cool. You know what's as much of a genius as George Lucas is, admittedly so, there's a lot of stuff that he has taken from other movies.
Right.
There's an old, I don't remember the name of the movie, but it's an old dam busting movie.
Uh-huh.
Right, where the
dam busters.
It could have been the dam busters.
Right. Because I saw that. That was cool.
But the dialogue was actually taken. Some of the dialogue was actually directly ripped off from those movies.
Uh-huh.
You know, when, you know, Red One standing by and all that kind of stuff.
Going hard and coming in hot.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff, right? So some of that dialogue was taken directly from those movies, and it's the visual symmetry is the same, and
it all looks
the same, but it's
but you know
it's
what
all good.
I like to look at that as you can't. If you are a participant in society in general, if you are a creator, you can never, ever, unless you are a hermit,
right.
You can never, ever claim that a creation of yours wasn't influenced by something at some point.
Yep.
Even if it was subliminal,
yep.
you are accosted with, by your senses are inundated with visual and audio and all these kind of things that you see through your life. And when you create something, those things... come to bear, for sure.
All right, let's have a quick musical interlude. Check, you got something going for us here?
Absolutely.
What you got lined up for us?
Little alone time. Yeah.
Oh, well, alright,
I'll leave the room.
Let's hear
guys.
It
The Lone Ranger. Feet of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty high of silver, the Lone Ranger. With his fearless Indian friend Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early West. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
All right, let's keep on going here. So I got a couple of news stories I want to talk to you very quickly about here, Walt.
All right, Chris.
So Len Wein.
Hold on, Len. Len. Look what you've done, Len.
Don't do it, Len. No. Not
he wants a soup bone.
No, not the crazy mad scientist from the Flintstones.
No? Okay.
Len Wein, who is the co-creator of Swamp Thing,
mm-hmm.
He's actually going back to the character for the first time in like 30 years. So he's actually...
Cool.
They're going to do... they're calling it Back to Square 2.
Right.
Right? Because it's, you know, he's going back and he's going to have the chance to actually take the character in a 6-issue Swamp Thing miniseries that kicks off this week. Actually, is it this week or next week? I don't know.
I think it's out this week. I saw Ween on the cover of Swamp Thing.
So, and this is the first time he's done it for a long time now. But he's also, of course, incorporating characters like Phantom Stranger and Zatanna and all that kind of stuff. But I think it's really cool that he's actually gone back to, you know, this character that he created, like, in 1971, right?
Yep.
So over 40 years ago.
And you know what? So much has happened to me. Our buddy Jeff Lemire took on Swamp Thing for a while and stuff like
Alan
that.
Alan Moore was, yeah. You know, when people talk about Swamp Thing, they always talk about Alan Moore.
Right.
And nobody talks about Len Wein and the fact that he created it with Bernie
Wrightson. I'm interested to see what they do.
Yeah, I think it'd be good.
All right.
Diamond Comics. They have an awards ceremony thing every year. Publisher of the year goes to Image for this year, for 2015. Yeah.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
And I think this is actually interesting because, you know, for all the things that Marvel and DC are trying so desperately hard at trying to, you know, get ownership of these characters again, and they're going back to the well and they're changing things up and they're just, you know, Image, however, is just coming up with cool story ideas and new things and not being tied down to one story arc or one thing. I think it's awesome.
You know what? When you think about that, what with Image, because it's creator owned and stuff like that. Image is the true kind of Image is very Darwinian.
Oh, very
if you
much
don't mind
so,
me
yes.
saying. So what I mean by that is because of the large corporations like Disney or Warner Brothers, they have a vested interest in properties.
Right.
So if the Green Arrow starts with a new title and, you know, by issue 7, it nobody's reading it anymore, they'll still keep trying to produce it and print it, and then maybe they'll go out of print and they'll stop it, and then like 6 months later they'll have another Green Arrow
thing. Because there's toys and TV series
and that kind of stuff that they have to and then they're it's almost like a lost leader comics where Image is what I mean by Darwinian with Image is if you know by issue 5 you're not selling, you're pulling the plug.
That's right. Yeah.
Right.
Yep, that's
and,
right.
And you know if you're Walking Dead, you know, then you're up to issue 150.
Yeah. Yep,
you have
absolutely.
To kind of earn your weight.
You have to kind of, it's like, hey, I'll buy it if it's good.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of the customer at the local shop level
is
deciding the fate of Image books on a month-to-month basis.
Yeah,
and you have to.
It. Yeah. I love
and, you know, that's what Marvel and DC used to be, I guess.
Right, they did.
At the very beginning.
But now they're corporate. And not that Image isn't a corporation, but you know what I mean? Like, it's...
Yeah, but the way it's structured in terms of with the weight and the emphasis and the onus on the creators, a lot of those guys don't have deep pockets. They're just trying to make a go of
it, right? Yeah, that's right.
So unless, you know, they're performing.
Yep.
And their performance is equated into sales at the local shop level.
Yep.
They're done.
That's right. That's
so,
right. One last quick story here before I know you got some other things you want to talk about here.
I do.
of course I do.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Sheets of it.
So there's a late night TV show, Seth Meyers. I think it's called Late Night with Seth Meyers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So Marvel Comics director and content and character development director. Her name is Sana Amanat, is actually scheduled to appear on the Seth Meyers Late Night with Seth Meyers show.
Cool.
Which, okay, so hold on. That's not even like Stan Lee going
It's like
Seth Meyers.
It's like some suit, some dry hoity-toity suit going on a talk show
about,
where they usually try and crack jokes and make light.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think she might be good.
I think she might be good, but I think it's interesting that we're at a point now. Would you ever thought that 20 years ago that some suit that nobody knew about, who nobody necessarily cared about.
Some behind-the-scenes exec from Marvel would go on a big time
big
late show.
Late night show.
Yeah.
I think it's very interesting that
like
this person's going on there.
I like that.
I think that's showing the breadth of the Marvel characters, the breadth of comics, how much far
and
comics
and the interest, you know, because obviously this Seth is going to be looking for spoilers, looking for clues, looking
and also
for
little, like itching for like those little, like, those what's little coming jabs up, and stuff,
hey, you know, tell us some secrets.
And I wonder if like this person is well trained enough, you know, to do an interview, especially on live TV. But I'm saying no, but where you can actually make it interesting, where it's, you know, he says one thing like, oh, and what's her name again?
Joanne.
Trisha Takanawa.
Eminat.
Eminem.
You know, so what can we look forward to from, you know, say the Avengers line, something come, and it's, I'm sorry, Seth, but I can't talk about that.
Yeah.
Well, okay, like, so you hope for more play off that.
Now,
right,
I should probably say, so this Eminem person, now, although she is sort of a behind-the-scenes editor-type person, she's also listed now as the co-creator for the new Ms. Marvel character.
Right.
The Kamala Khan.
Arab one.
Yeah. So she has worked at Marvel for a few years now. She helps – she's trying to bring more, I think, female characters into the fold for Marvel. You know, so which is great. So and Seth Meyers is a comic book fan. He also helped co-write a short Spider-Man comic years ago called Spider-Man: The Short Halloween. So I think it's kind of a neat fitting that the two of them came together. You know, I think it was sort of like a marriage of the fitting kind of thing. Like,
he likes comics, and
she happens to be involved in comics, and then maybe they saw each other at a, you know, cocktail party or something. I don't know.
I understand how that works, but I just hope it makes for a decent TV where people don't say, like, man, that was stale.
Sort of like
the show.
Pretty much.
Anyway, I thought it was really interesting that was happening. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. That is very cool. Now, hey, you know, we're in 2016.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, go on.
We have to talk about some anniversaries coming up this year. I know, Chris. I know because I asked your wife. Sarah last night. I talked to her a little bit.
Is she okay?
She's doing fine.
Since she was a little sore today.
Well, you know what it is. Bowling takes a lot
out of
you.
That's very true.
Captain America is celebrating his 75th anniversary this year.
75 years. Yes. Can you believe that?
Now, I think he still is your favorite comic book character.
He still is my favorite
traditional comic book character.
Yes, yes. Right? He still is my favorite comic book character. He's been around for 75 years. In fact, there's going to be a special on, I think it's ABC. I could be wrong about that. I think it's on January 19th.
Oh, really?
It's going to be like a one-hour special on TV, devoted just to Captain America.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So, you know.
That'll trace back to the Simon days.
The origins
and Kirby
of where he came from. Yeah.
Wow.
And so I'm actually looking forward to seeing that.
Now, did you know, and you know, what we talked about, it's funny how we talked about earlier about Image and you know, like performing and cream of the crop, rise to the top. You have to earn your sales. Did you know that Captain America wasn't the first patriotic superhero in the United States, like in comic books.
Right.
Usually, you know, Superman was the first superhero.
Right.
And he's lasted forever, right?
Canadian created, you know.
Pardon?
Canadian created.
half, right.
I'm going to throw that into the hat right there.
You know, like Batman was the first kind of detective, you know, super type hero. Well, not obviously, I mean, they're Phantom or something. But I'm talking about like, whereas with Captain America, there was a character called the Shield.
Oh, okay, right.
Which
was
a patriot. And I think there was a character called the Patriot.
Oh, interesting.
As well. Okay. And Captain America was actually the third.
Really?
But because Simon and Kirby were writing great stories and they had those dynamic. Remember those covers? Oh. I can't afford any of them.
No.
But those fantastic World War II battle covers and stuff. Captain America basically within a couple of years was, you know, the last man standing type of thing.
And let's not forget that, you know, it was right in the throes of World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a cover like, I think it's number one, where Captain America is punching Hitler. Right? Like, how can that not sell comics? So awesome.
And how can someone these days not want that? Like, how can they not clamor to empty out their piggy banks to try and buy it?
Yeah.
But historically speaking, the cool thing about that is when Captain America number one was published, the United States was not at war.
No.
They were not officially, they were a non-aligned country officially. They were on the sidelines watching. And yet, it's almost like public.
They're waiting to yeah. take their move.
Yeah. yeah. Also, we have to plug us three being good Canadian boys.
Yeah.
2016 also marks the 75th anniversary of the Canadian comic book.
Oh, so wait. So tell me a little bit about that. What do you mean by the Canadian comic book? Is it like the very first Canadian comic book that ever appeared in 1941?
1941. Reader's Digest version, December 6, 1940. The Mackenzie King government enacts the War Measures Act,
okay.
which bans all non-essential imports into the country to help the war economy.
Okay, so hold on. So beep, 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 boop, beep, boop. Comic books are being created in the States.
Yes.
And
we're buying up.
We're buying them up.
Okay, it's 41, so we may have bought that. No, 1940. So we were buying up Flash. We were buying up Superman. We were buying up Batman. We were buying up Shazam.
Wonder Woman.
No, Wonder Woman was later, 41.
Oh,
but
right.
We were buying up a whole bunch, you know, famous.
Yeah, Chris, don't you know that? Yeah.
Famous funnies.
Right.
We were buying up, you know, Popeye and all
right,
those kind of
right,
things.
Right,
yeah.
right. Slam Bradley.
Right. Yeah. We were buying up that stuff like crazy because kids loved it.
Right.
But at the end of the year of 41, all those imports just stopped.
Interesting.
Banned. Total yeah. nothing.
Yeah.
And within a couple months, first guys out of Vancouver, a place called Maple Leaf Publishing,
okay.
A gentleman called Vernon Miller,
okay.
published a comic called Better Comics Number 1.
Oh, interesting.
And that was kind of the first Canadian homegrown comic that was basically an economic necessity and filling in a void in the marketplace because
right.
of all of a sudden,
okay.
there are no comic books
now,
on the
I've heard the term Canadian white.
Mm-hmm.
Is that considered to be a Canadian white?
Well, that is the first Canadian white.
And, so why is it called a Canadian white?
Because we were so caught off guard. We were so inept in terms of where we were as a country in terms of our abilities to publish
right.
that we couldn't figure out how to print in color.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. So,
so
was
it was
white.
Kind of a black and white thing.
Okay.
And so they were kind of the name Canadian white stuck. And that, but that was later in the collecting community.
Oh,
that was, that happened in like the 70s.
I see. Okay,
stuff.
Okay.
So they weren't Canadian whites when they came out. They were just comic
right.
books.
Okay,
right.
Okay. Gotcha.
So happy anniversary to the Canadian comic.
Interesting.
Book as well.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Very interesting.
What else right. we got, Chris?
Hey,
you know what? I wanted to ask. Go ahead.
Oh, you know, I wanted to say. So, now I know you're not really up on all the Marvel TV shows mm-hmm. and all that stuff,
right?
But I wanted to talk very quickly about Jessica Jones. So,
oh.
Jessica Jones.
How is Jess?
So, Jessica Jones. It's well, you know. So, it's that TV show on Netflix. So, it's part of Marvel's. So, Marvel came out with Daredevil,
right?
And then last fall, I'll call it, they came out with Jessica Jones,
right?
Mm-hmm. And then now they're. I mean, eventually, be coming out with you know,
Luke Cage, and then Iron Fist, right?
So, my wife and I watched all of Jessica Jones on a couple weeks ago, We kept on hearing how great it was.
Yes.
How, you know, oh,
right, how it was better than Daredevil.
Better than Daredevil.
Uh-huh. I heard it too.
Daredevil was great,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And you know what? I thought it was yeah. just okay.
Yeah. I watched the first 6 episodes of the 10.
Yeah.
And then I got bored enough to watch another series that I had already watched. Sherlock, by the way,
yeah.
which is a great...
Great series.
Great series.
What, the one from
BBC,
Cumberbund?
BBC.
Yeah.
Cumberbund.
Okay.
And I decided to rewatch that uh-huh. instead of finishing the series. Just be, you know what? It's entertaining enough. Jessica Jones was entertaining enough, but it didn't, you know, capture me.
Right.
Like,
you know what?
Like Daredevil did. It, right. it wasn't as good as Daredevil at all.
We watched the first couple episodes and we were really bored by it. Then we watched the like you know up to episode 10 and we're like, well, might as well finish watching it now, right? It's only a couple more episodes and we're done.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really underwhelming.
Right.
Like, it was good,
yeah.
but.
You know, my take on that. I tried to watch Daredevil.
Yeah.
I got into 4 episodes, and I liked it, but I'm gonna be honest. Like, hey, listen, I'm a tough guy. I'm an old guy. I've seen lots, and you know what? Like those kind of in the right context, it can be as nasty as it wants to be
in the right context. Yeah.
But I was looking at it and going, you know, like really. Like,
do I need to see that?
Yeah, like, yeah. It was overkill on the violence, and that I couldn't correlate the violence to the show.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I think And it's not like I'm turned off by movie violence. No, it's not like, oh, I'm a prune or something, and I'm just turned off by movie violence. So I'm just thought, in the context of what they were trying to do with the gritty kind of scene, I thought they could have been more effective with the hint of violence.
Yes.
You know, have obviously some, you know, graphic scenes and stuff like that to prove the point.
Yep.
But, you know, to have the whole issue of just things, blood spraying everywhere and stuff
it's
like that.
It's all over.
Okay,
wait, what is he talking about?
Well, you know,
Daredevil.
It was pretty violent.
What part? Really?
Yeah.
Really?
We'll talk later after the show. We're running out of time.
No. Okay.
We have 20 seconds left here.
We do?
Yeah.
All right. Comic Culture, the nonviolent version, is brought to you by GetThePointRadio.com and ComicBookDaily.com
and
90- CFMU 93.3 McMaster Radio. Please add your comments at comicbookdaily.com in the comments field, and we hope to see you next week.
And please go out and support your local comic book retailer and have yourself a wonderful, fantastic, fantabulous day.